Everyone has an opportunity to know beautiful people in their world. And we've had the opportunity of knowing Ingeborg Fuchert here on campus for these many years. Many people have a lifetime that's not even as long as we have known Ingeborg and shared with her and done things with her. And as the saying is, she is a challenge because she is a definite lady. She wants to do things her way, and she did them her way. And she made one little mistake. She was presumptuous. She came a few years too early. The world is constantly changing, as we all know. And in this change that the world is making, science is telling us there is no time and there is no space. They have repeated this again and again and again and are proving it as best they can. But they are adding another little aspect to it. There is no death. There is only life eternal, immortality. Now, this is what the scientists are teaching us. That people in religion have wanted to believe this for years because of the teachings of Jesus or the Buddha and the various other people who teach immortality. And they've tried to say that it's so wonderful. Well, now, Ingeborg was just a little presumptuous. If she had just waited maybe 10, 20 years, you know, before she chose to move on, the world would have changed sufficiently that instead of just helping people to survive, you'd get a new outfit. They're giving new hearts to people. They're giving new lungs to you, but their own lungs, they're making them out of stem cells. And this is not something that's from somebody else, that you don't know what the gene DNA structure of it is. This is from you. This is what the scientists are doing, and they're proving it, and they're doing it. And the world is just a little bit frightened by it, especially the metaphysicians. And by metaphysicians, I mean people who have religious philosophies that say that it can't be done. Well, now, there's only one person that says it can't be done, and that's you. If you say it can't be done, then it can't be done for you. If you say it can be done, it can be done. Now, when Ellen went into the hospital with Ingeborg and said, "You're home, Perk, you're home, Perk, you're home, Perk," she just rattled that into Ingeborg's mind, and Ingeborg had already accepted it. But then she powered it in there and powered it in there. And he was like, all right, you know. And she gave up deciding to leave because Ingeborg is Ingeborg. And Ingeborg was in Nigeria. And Ingeborg drank the water. Stupid, 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 no. So she didn't have to die. But she did this because I can drink it. I can do anything. There's nothing that concerns me. But then she let somebody's comments say, "You die from that. You ruined your brain from that. Now don't say those things," you know. And so that got into her thought. And then when Ellen found out about it, she went there and did a Roto-Rooter on her thinking and cleaned it out totally to remind her that she is whole and perfect, that every organ, action, function of her body is whole and perfect. What'd you say?
You are whole and perfect. You are whole and perfect. Every organ, action, function of your body is whole and perfect.
Thank you. You see, I don't do that because I might forget. But no, you're whole and perfect. And she bought it. Now, scientists are finding out how to use stem cells to build from a petri dish a new heart, new lungs, new cells, new parts of your body. And it won't be long. And they'll be able to take this. Now, maybe I should hide before I say the rest of this. It won't be long before they can take your essence. Now, how they're going to get it and where it is, they're going to take your essence and put it in a petri tube. And they're going to nurture it and let it develop and come out as your own total self, brand new, just as though you were born as a baby, but as a baby without ever any imperfections. Now, that's going to come. And like I say, Ingeborg Gis was a little ahead of her time, but she would have loved to have had that and done that. And she's an amazing lady, and she's done these things in beautiful ways. So, hi, love. And so this is what goes on in our world. We can realize that all of us have the opportunity to live eternally. We're going to do it whether you do it with this body or not. But there's no reason why this body, which is an ideal body given to you at birth, you know, by ideal parents, an ideal body that has nothing wrong with it, there's no reason why it can't be used immortally on all dimensions of life if you choose. But there's no reason. The only reason is that you don't take good care of it. And that goes for all of us. We don't take good care of it. We don't give it the right food. We don't give it the right rest. We don't give it the right attitude. But it's not what goes into the mouth. It's what comes out of the mouth. That's what makes a difference. That's why I said, Michael, you know, it's what comes out of the mouth. We want to always speak like Ellen here. You're whole and perk. You're whole and perk. You're whole and perk. You're whole and perk. Until she just gave up being sick because she didn't need to be sick. But she felt sorry for herself. Oh, darn, I drank the water and it didn't treat me right. And then Ellen comes in and says, forget the water. You're whole and perfect. That has nothing to do with the water and nothing to do with anything else. It's your thought. It's your thought. What do you think about yourself? What do you want to experience? How do you want to live? And then Ingeborg got the message and took it. Now, Ellen does this for herself all the time. Whenever Ellen has some little idiosyncrasy in her body, she instantly says,
I'm whole and perfect.
And that's it. And whenever anybody else around here, when we have the healing ministry and people call in for the healing ministry and want healing treatment, we say, what do you want? Well, I don't want a broken leg and I don't want... Hey, what do you want? I want to be whole and perfect. Hey, that's great. That's just what Ellen's cup of tea is. And that's what we give out. But as my point being, science is finding out the body is designed to live forever. It's just a matter of purifying it, clarifying it, revealing it in its divine form. Science is not too distant than the past. We're working with the nervous system. They were working with the... what were they working with?
Stem cells.
No, this is before that. They were working with the veins of your body where you have your...
DND.
Lymph nodes, your lymph fluid in your body. Mm-hmm. And they're working with your lymph fluid. And this guy works with his lymph fluid. And he took his lymph fluid out of his body. He's a scientist, took a portion out, and he put it in a freezer. And then 10 years later, he put it back into his body. And his body completely converted back to how it was 10 years before. The lymph fluid had been so significant. Now, many people would love to do that. But they feel they're now they have a diseased body. They don't want to take the diseased lymph fluid out of their body and put it back in a few years because that won't help anything. And they can't use anybody else's as of the moment. But they're learning how to purify all of these things, and they're learning how to do many wonderful things. Now, this sounds like science fiction, and it is science fiction today. And tomorrow, it'll be science reality. And it's not against anything the Bible teaches. It's not against anything Jesus teaches, Buddha teaches, or anybody. It's done unto you according to your belief. That's what we've been taught. And that's what this is the truth. And this is what Ingeborg is doing now. She's going off and having herself a ball. She's on some other dimension, and I'm sure she's not on this dimension. Because she didn't like this dimension. If she had liked this dimension, she would have grabbed herself by her bootstraps and says, I'm whole and perfect, you know? And she could. And people do. And more people do that than any of us realize. And more people do that than any doctors will ever admit. Because they don't want to take responsibility for saying, you're whole and perfect, and then they die. You know, what kind of doctor are you? You know, saying that sort of thing. So this is why she's walking her path so beautifully. And she's been a good example for all of us. And we can all tug along just as beautifully as she did and just as beautifully as we are. And we don't have to ever compare ourselves to anybody. We just be ourselves and have fun. Wasn't that right?
Yes.
And what?
And I like me.
And?
All is in divine order.
And? I'm whole and perfect.
Perfect.
Wonderful. So, now, what we're going to do is we're going to...
Somebody wants to say...
I'm sorry?
Somebody wants to say something.
Well, I think that's a nice idea.
Mm-hmm.
Before you do that, I'm just going to say, we will take a car and we'll drive down to the Shangri-La, and then those of us who want to walk, we can walk down there, and then we'll sprinkle some of her ashes along the path, and when we get down there, there should be ashes left, because you didn't show them the ashes, did you?
No.
No, bring them out.
Okay.
and the bucket, too.
And the bucket, too. But so then you ride in the car, and when you get down there, you can partake in that part of the thing. Yeah, that's all Ingeborg. And it's really not too heavy. Pass it around. Pass her around.
Anybody wants to pass it around?
Yeah, that's Ingeborg. Interesting, huh?
Yeah, amazing.
Does the container weigh more than Ingeborg?
I don't know. We'll find out as we sprinkle the glasses. We'll find out. She's a lot easier to carry this way.
Much lighter.
Wow.
Now, Rhonda Joyce
in
Las Vegas, she was married twice, and the first husband died, and she had his ashes in an urn on the
mantelpiece,
yeah. And so then her mommy died, and she had her mommy's ashes in an urn on the mantelpiece. So here her her dead husband and her former mommy is up there. And I said to her, why don't you let them go and put them out someplace, you know? And so she said, the house has been kind of heavy, you know, because she's always, hi, Mom, hi, Pop, you know, or whatever. And so she cleaned out the house, and her house has been much happier ever since.
Mm.
It's wonderful. Now, would you like to lead us in having everyone say whatever they want to say, if they want to say something?
No, I would just say, who wants to say something about
significant...
Maria,
did you have something you wanted to say about this fabulous lady, Ingeborg?
Yeah, you say who you are, and then...
Maria, the hairdresser.
Yeah, she's the barber, the hairdresser. She's Miss Allness over here in Cameron Corners.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss Ingeborg.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna miss her. She was wonderful. She was a great person.
Okay.
Very nice lady. And she gave me this beautiful necklace that I still have.
she gave it to you.
She gave it to
Good
me.
For
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Good for
Very
her.
Very nice lady.
Well, you made her feel like a princess because you did her feet so beautifully, you know, and her hair so beautifully.
And that's not a long time ago.
No.
That's probably a month ago or 3 weeks ago. I called Maria, and Ingeborg had her feet done. And so when she went, a perfect pedicure.
Yes.
Perfect pedicure.
And it looked so pretty when
yeah.
she was in her bed, because she likes to be uncovered, almost naked in that bed.
Yeah.
And her feet just stuck out and looked yeah. so pretty. Yeah.
And Sylvia naturally said, Maria did a good job.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Maria.
Well, we laughed about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Michael?
Well, I recall Ingeborg, like you have said, that she was always a smile on her face and was always welcome every time I would come here. And I did enjoy reading her articles that she wrote in the Gist. So I can say that she did a very good job, and she was very talented. So I'm sure she will be missed with her experience.
Thank you.
I got very angry with her. I said, look, anybody's got the talent you have for writing and doesn't write, you'd be ashamed of yourself, you know?
So that got her writing?
Yes. Yeah, I got two or three articles out of her.
No, she did more than that.
Yeah. Guy, do you have something to say?
No.
Hi.
No, I'm not.
Not a talker.
No.
But you remember her.
Yeah.
Often she had something in the garage which you guys... found because she had perhaps hidden it and you found it, or the contrary, or so. All right, Larry.
I remember reading, like Mike said, all of the articles that she wrote.
Oh, you read them.
Well, you sent it to me.
Yes.
I read them.
Oh, good.
Not every single word, but I do.
Do you have internet so that you can read now the gist on the internet?
I do, yeah, but I don't
go too much.
I don't go on the computer too often.
Uh-huh.
Mine's it's a dial up, very slow. So.
You have to go with Gordy.
No, I go with what's cheap, and that's cheap.
Well, it serves your purpose.
What I use it for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not much.
Okay, and Murphy?
What's Murphy over there?
Yeah, I want to talk to her.
To me? Oh.
Oh.
Yes.
In the short time I knew Ingeborg, she was always a life in life.
Bring it to me.
Every time I saw her, she had a smile on her face, and she forced you to have a smile on your face when you saw her.
That's true.
So... I'm blessed to have known her for the short time I did, and so I will miss her in my own way as well.
Thank you. And there's a little secret he did not say. We were asking, or Herb was asking Murphy, if he would walk with Ingeborg to get her walking, and Murphy said, of course, I will be delighted to do that. And Ingeborg said, I'm so happy somebody will walk with me because, you know, Herb, a month ago I was saying, oh, if only I had somebody who would walk with me. But she didn't make it anymore. But the offer was precious.
Yeah. I'll walk with her spirit.
Oh, yay. Lovely. Oh, nice. All right, Mandy. No, you say who you are.
There's a lot of things about Ingeborg.
Yeah.
She was so wonderful. She was always, you know, if there was anything that she felt was wrong, you know, she would say, you know, like in my family or anything with my husband, she'd say, just love him, you know, and it was just always that, you know, to love. And she was just so easy to love, you know, and she just loved everybody. And, you know, I was telling Anita the other day that how she was like a child at heart, because she loved to give the, you know, the cat, you know, special treats, and she loved cookies. So
she was always hiding the cookies for the cats in the drawer, and she showed it to her because she was not allowed that because it attracted the mice. So she was telling them. She was telling her.
The drawer was full of mice.
Mice, yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, yeah.
She probably feed
and so
them
she gave that secret, shared that secret with Mandy. Mandy, who doesn't know it, Mandy came 2 times a week to give Ingeborg a shower and washed her hair and massaged her feet, which was an extra treat Mandy did. And Ingeborg just loved it. And you could see the two there in the bedroom. So much to chat, to chat, 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 chat. And it was beautiful. But every time on Tuesdays and Fridays Mandy came, Ingeborg's face was illumined and happy to look forward for her friend. Yeah. And I want to take that opportunity and give a little gift to you, a special gift from Ingeborg. Because I know it's...
Don't say no, you can't.
No,
she already gave it.
Yeah, I know this. But this watch is the watch...
I can't take that.
You really please, that is Ingeborg's desire that you have it and you take it and you enjoy it.
That's
in Ingeborg's name for you.
That's very nice.
Yeah, now you can give that to your son's your son's wife, whenever they have one, or daughters whenever they have
wives.
Yeah, you like that. You wear that.
Or keep it yourself. Now, who's next?
Daniele.
Daniele, our webmaster.
Ingeborg was like a grandma to me. She used to sew my socks and sweater, and when I had a hole somewhere, I would go to her and say, Ingeborg, would you mind sewing this for me? And she would do it delightfully and with a big smile, and had some of my socks with her. She was always available to give an advice, and I remember how she used to eat a lot. I have some nice pictures of her with her face full of chocolate from eating cake. And sometimes I remember sitting next to her and wondering, she just had this giant piece of cake with whipped cream, and she would get one more afterward. I was like, where does she put all that? And considering the amount of sweets that she was eating, and she was whole and perfect at the same time.
She wasn't fat or anything.
No fat, no diabetes, nothing, just perfect.
And yeah. No tapeworms.
So, yeah, I'll miss her. Mm-hmm. But, wish her best.
But you see, in this connection, when we brought her to the hospital with the emergency, in the emergency room, in the afternoon, I went to visit her. She was still in the emergency. She was sitting in that bed like a queen, and she had a tray full of food. And she was smiling, radiating, and eating everything under the sun. That was on the 1st of May in the afternoon. She left in the morning here at 6:30 for the hospital, and in the afternoon at 3 o'clock she was eating and saying, this is good.
Good appetite.
Glenda.
Okay, well, I've known Ingeborg for about 4 years. I mean, this is like the way I've known you guys too. And in that time, every time I see her, she does always welcome me like I'm part of the family instantaneously. And that really meant a lot to me. And I just, you know, she's very giving and she really does care for you. Whomever she's talking to, she really cares for that person, and she genuinely listens. And even at the hospital when I was visiting her, her concern was about the boys. She's always asking about the kids and see how they're doing. And this is her in the hospital when we're trying to visit her, and she's still, you know, looking out for the family. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and so yeah, like Daniela was saying, you know, she just really loves to eat. I remember in the hospital too, she was just devouring that chocolate cookie and the cupcake. And then another time that we visited her, she went straight for the apple pie instead of the meal first. So she went straight to the pie, and she was just like loving it. We just definitely really, really missed her. And we just love her. We just love her to pieces.
Beautiful. Yeah. So,
Anita.
Anita?
Oh, no, Sylvia. Sylvia?
No, we just said Anita. Now let Anita talk. Okay. Sylvia can have a big show after we've all done our thing.
All right.
Is that okay with you, Sylvia?
Yes.
Okay, I knew it would be. Go ahead, Anita.
Okay. I know Ingeborg since quite a long time already. What I remember most is, what the story I have with Ingeborg most is, already last time when I visited the campus again, I would live with Ingeborg in here. So I was in that little room there, and Ingeborg as always in this room. And this time I'm in that room and Ingeborg in that room, and evenings with Ingeborg are magic. Because during the day, she does her thing, and she really does her thing, nobody else's thing. What Ingeborg wants to do, she does it. Then in the evening, something happens. It's like she... I always had that experience. She, probably it's me, you know? In the evening, it's like this, and you go, what a great day. And the two of us would always do our own thing, but at the same time, enjoy each other. Like,
I would walk by her room and go, "Hey, Ingeborg, what you're up to?" And she goes, "I'm reading, I'm reading." And she always did that. And she did that all the time, even when during the day it looked like she's, you know, not totally here or sleeping all the day. You watch in the evening. The lights went on. She took her studies out and she sat on the bed and studied. And I walked by and said, "Good on you, girl." Would do my thing, and I always made sure before I went to bed that I was close by so I could hear her saying good night to me. Mm. Because she always, at the beginning, she always would come out quickly and say, "Anita, time to go to bed, sweet dreams." And I thought, oh, now the day's complete. Yeah. And you know, when she started choosing to take it a bit quieter, I would just so carefully walk by the door so I could still hear it. And I go, "Hey, Ingeborg, time to go to bed." And she goes, "Oh, yes, sweet dreams. Have good dreams and good night." And then we both were in peace. It was like it belonged to it.
Yeah.
And once when she was already in hospital, she called. I was here in the monastery. And she called just about bedtime. And I said, "Yes, Ingeborg." And she said, "Who's gonna tuck me in?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Okay, Ingeborg, oh, it's that time of the day. Well, sweet dreams to you." And she said, "Sweet dreams, buff." That's all she wanted.
Yeah.
She didn't want to say sweet dreams, and she hung up instantly. And I know it sounds like little, mm-hmm. but for me that was magic each day. Just this time, and oh yeah, and when the last time I was here was in that little room. Ingeborg would work a lot in the next room, then the office. And she had a funny habit. She took out her teeth in the evening. But I tell you, to see somebody smile like that makes your heart kick. I never felt like it was strange. You know, I always thought, "Oh, Ingeborg, you're gorgeous." I couldn't resist it, eh? We just had these evenings, and I know we had a lot of experience in the last, how long am I here? 3 months?
Yeah.
Because we had this time together. Mm. And I can't tell you all the experiences, but just a little bit about this saying good night. And later on when she decided she needs more meditation time, so she needs more quiet time for herself, she got the times wrong sometimes. So at night, at about 12 o'clock at night, I would hear, "Anita!" And I go, "Ingeborg." So I walked in and she would be there and she said, just say, "Good night and sweet dreams." "Night, Ingeborg, love you." And went to bed again.
Yeah.
It's real magic, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, still in the hospital, she said to me, "Anita, good job." Yeah. Mm. She was really doing a lot for Ingeborg the last weeks while she was here. It was doing good to her soul for everything.
Oh, she's just lovely.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, I felt I had a very special flatmate.
Yeah,
you know?
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know when you finished.
Well, she's never finished.
No, she's never finished.
Yeah, don't knock Ingeborg off the table there.
No, I just wanted to say, oh my gosh. No, you can't knock Ingeborg over it. That's just impossible. I mean, that's just the person I knew, a very resolute person, but I don't know, there was a sweetness and an innocence about Ingeborg, which is very beautiful. That she really was a child. She was like a child when she wanted something, she wanted it, and there was no way of getting around to it. You could not fight with Ingeborg because it just didn't lead anywhere because Ingeborg was Ingeborg. And I must say, what I really enjoyed was this last month with Ingeborg, when she came home from the hospital and she couldn't be alone, and I moved into the little room next to her room, and the first weeks she really needed some assistance, and I I used to go in there and just like Anita tuck her in and kiss her on the forehead, you know, just like a little child. And sometimes she was half out of her bed, and I would tuck her in again and say, well, that's too dangerous, you know, and just tuck her in again. And was fun. And I must say, but the last memories of her when she was already in the hospital and in the hospice, and how she enjoyed the food and how she enjoyed being fed. When I first came to visit her and I fed her, that was the first day she was at the hospice, and she was hungry. And she opened her mouth, and I could put chocolate in there and all sorts of stuff. And oh, she just was so happy, and I would clean her mouth and clean everything. And when I went to visit her the second time, I said, Ingeborg, I brought you some chocolate. You want some? And she instantly took her oxygen mask off her face, and I took a little piece of chocolate and wanted to put it in her mouth. And the nurse came in and said, I think you shouldn't do that because she has some problem with swallowing. But Ingeborg, she had
no problem.
She didn't care at all, you know. She wanted that chocolate. It was so fun. And also when I left her the second time and I bent down to hug her and kiss her, and then before I left she grabbed my hands and with a strength you wouldn't believe, you know. I mean, it just amazing. She held both of my hands and didn't want to let me go, and it was beautiful. It was a love sharing, and I was very close to her this last month, and I'm glad that I could take care of her and do my part.
Very nice.
Very good. Did we get everybody? Good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I see. So Rex, what do you say?
Yeah.
Rex would go in and take care of her always.
And Ingeborg, she was a pushover for caressing Rex. When Rex came and wanted to be caressed,
continuously.
Continuously. You know, we sometimes say, okay, that's enough now. But with Ingeborg, she could do it for hours.
And really. With my little dog, too.
And she was just caressing him and caressing him, and without getting ever tired of it. That was Rex, huh?
Beautiful.
Yeah, she didn't have children, but all her children were all the animals she could have here on campus.
Yes,
she had a cat.
Including the mice?
Yeah, including the mice. And she had the one cat at the Shangri-La where we will go, and that was her goal, to go and feed this cat. So she actually became very close to that cat, because that cat was the Maxwell. When they sold us the house, the Oasis,
they
couldn't take the cat. So she took that cat and brought in the other house, and she cared for that cat. And that cat
for years
was following Ingeborg when she walked from the Shangri-La up here, followed her. And sometimes that cat was here and didn't know what to do. But we had to bring her back, then the cat. She loved animals, and like her sister said, she loved to be here on campus. This was paradise, and everything what she probably could never have had in her life as a marriage or whatever, she found here on campus. A lovely family and a beautiful Chera who always kicked her and said, you can do it, you can do it. And she said, yes, sir. I can. And she was special. She was often a challenge, but that's part of the school here, like you see there. This is the Absolute Monastery. It is a school, spiritual school. So everybody we have here on campus is a mirror. So, and Ingeborg was a fantastic mirror. I love you, Ingeborg.
Very good. Let's go. So.
Did you?
It's all running.